Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. It's an early version of the Eternal Bum Podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, my sidekick, Ralph Williams in Pittsburgh. Prayers and thoughts of Bruce Kessinger as he's making his way back. Good things happening on the horizon. 347-205-9631 live. If you happen to want to catch this on the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, the threes, Ralph, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And boy, there's a lot to talk about, including a cleaning house in Pittsburgh yesterday.
Yeah, good morning, Mark. It's great to be here on a Saturday morning, a very unusual time for us, but that's fine. Anyway, we got my man Dr. Roscoe coming up right afterwards, so that's going to be great. You can get a hold of me at RalphWilliams737@gmail.com and at Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and on YouTube. I have my shows on all my archive versions of my shows on YouTube. And you can also subscribe as well. Still stuck at 94, Mark. I don't know what's going on here. I only need 6 more to make 100. It's starting to become a dog sled ride or something. You know what I mean? You know, so
obsession.
Yeah, that's it. So, all right, Mark,
well,
wherever you want to start. So let's get rolling.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I always say this in anything you do, my friend. It's never the goal, it's the journey, and you just keep pushing, and you keep being persistent, and you just keep kicking that door down. And when you keep doing that, good things start to come about. Hey, listen, I just did an interview, blessed enough to do with Raleigh Fingers. It took me quite a while. Michael McHenry, that Pittsburgh Pirates analyst, just being persistent and consistent. They both work hand in hand, and that's how you get these things. So keep up the good work. We're going to push it as much as we can on this end to get that thing to where you need to go. But let's start talking about some things in 30 minutes because I know it goes by quick, and we'll be back next Friday, 5 o'clock slot in Pittsburgh, 2 o'clock on the West Coast, our regular time zone. We had to fluctuate the last couple weeks, but that's okay. We're covering stuff. And I know Ralph's out there with the Pitt football team and the USFL and everything, and I'm out here doing the Dodgers and stuff, and you got the Long Beach Grand Prix. So they cleaned house in the front office of the Penguins the other day. You called it. You should have put money on that one, Ralph. You would have won a lot. This is a team in transition now, so the front office is gone. What can we expect now after this team failed to make the playoffs after 16 seasons?
Well, first of all, Mark, they have to fix these contracts. Ron Hextall signed guys like Jeff Carter, who's like 38 years old and 50 on the other side. I mean, to these ridiculous contracts. He gave several ridiculous contracts out to some of these guys. The Penguins have to fix that because of the salary cap, and they need to bring in some players. The one thing that you and I talked about on Thursday was they have to fix their goaltending. The goaltending is horrible. Special teams is bad. Preparation. I don't know what's going on with Mike Sullivan with his teams, especially when they have back-to-back games. Their preparation is awful. Now, on Tuesday on Sports Corner, I have a reporter from the Post-Gazette, Matt Bensel, who covers the Pens, coming on, and we're going to find out from him exactly what Fenway Group has in mind for the Penguins and for the fans and for the city as to what they're going to do about this team.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I mean, I think they got to get an adequate goaltender there. That's going to be the most important thing. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. They have to get a good starting goaltender, Mark. Then you have to go and get a quality backup. You can't have a backup like Casey DeSmith, who's a bum, who hardly ever who couldn't even cover anything. And Jari, in this last game, I don't know if you caught it or not or watched it at all, he did absolutely nothing to stop the puck. It just went straight by him. I mean, this kind of laziness and stuff shouldn't go on. I think they should actually fire Mike Sullivan as well, but I heard they're going to give him one more year, and he'll be on eggshells next year. So if he doesn't do well, I think it's time for him to go too. I think he's worn out his welcome.
Well, he's been there 8 seasons, and maybe they're tuning him out. Could that be
Absolutely.
The thing?
Absolutely, Mark. You know what he's doing? He's doing Dan Bylsma all over again. Dan Bylsma didn't want to listen to nothing, didn't want to change anything, didn't want to do anything. He went to 2 Stanley Cups. He won one and lost one. And the interesting part about Bylsma is that he was just like Mike Sullivan, stubborn, didn't want to do anything to change anything. I think Fenway is going to put the pressure on him that Mike Sullivan's going to have to change his game plan a little bit. This laziness and his practice, bad practice habits, I guess, and some other preparation has just been horrible throughout the season, bad. And they're slow. You know, hockey's a fast game. You can't have slow turtles, you know, during a hockey game at all in the NHL. Penguins don't have any speed. You know, and they have a bunch of aging guys, veterans, you know, that are just, you know.
Well, and not only that, Ralph, you bring some interesting points, and you see it firsthand there, and I'm seeing it from afar, but the problem is I think they're gassed by the time March comes around. Their best opportunity was last year when Malkin came back in January and Crosby came back in, I think it was late November. And then I thought, okay, these guys, you know, now they got their legs going into March and April. They took a 3-1 lead on the Rangers in the first round of the playoffs, and then they went home. So, I mean, that should have showed a lot of people what the hell was going on there. It didn't. And now they come back this year. They always start out like a bat out of hell right out of the gate, and then it just kind of fluctuates. You can't let teams like Florida and the Islanders that were pretty much buried start catching you here. And this team was disappointing. We all knew what the Washington Capitals were going to do. They kind of fluctuated. They weren't going to really be in the mix of this thing. They were emptying, you know, contracts. But to sit here and see the Penguins in the last, you know, 2 games of the season, and they should have beat Chicago, and that would have iced it. They laid down. I mean, if you look at last Saturday, when they played that day game in Detroit, and, you know, the Islanders and Panthers were right there too. The Islanders laid an egg on I believe it was Monday, losing to the Capitals. Penguins had all the golden opportunity to steal that spot, and they didn't. Who cares if they get waxed by Boston? You keep that streak intact. Now the streak's done. They haven't been out of the playoffs since Crosby was a rookie.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been really horrible, and with the way the play was this year. And you're right, opportunities knock only one time, Mark. And if you don't answer the door, then you might as well forget about it. You know, and that's exactly what happened with the Penguins. You know, you brought that point up about how they had opportunities that were knocking at their door, and they just simply didn't answer the door. They didn't deliver the mail either. So, I mean, you know.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Switching over to baseball real fast, the Pirates, they're taking turns shutting each other out. If they're not getting shut out by Houston, they're shutting out the Cardinals in St. Louis, and then the Cardinals returned the favor yesterday. I like the way the Bucks are playing. They're 2 games out, tied with the Cubs for second place. The Brewers are just, I don't know, man, break up the Brew Crew, huh?
Yeah, absolutely, Mark. It was nice to see the Cardinals not having a winning record playing the Pirates last night. And, you know, when I saw their record compared to our record, I said, oh, my gosh, I thought, you know, the Cardinals were supposed to be this big team this year as well. Of course, they always are tough in the division as well. But anyway, it's great to see that the Pirates, at least so far, they're 1-1 in the series. And, you know, the rubber match is today. So the rubber match will be tomorrow, or, you know, they have 4 games. So let's see what the Pirates do here. They have to do some tinkering right now. They have J.D. Brubaker down for the season. He may be out for 2 seasons. His injury's so bad, they don't think he'll be back for a couple years. And you have a few other guys that are out right now, and they need to go out and get a free agent pitcher. find an experienced veteran and bring him in as soon as possible, because Rich Hill's soiling the bed here a little bit. And, you know, you've got some guys who are just, if they would pick it up a little bit, I think the Pirates could even be better than what they are right now. But I'm happy. Connor Joe, G-Man Choi, Carlos Santana, you know, that Najiba. I mean, they got a bunch of guys that are just hitting and doing different things, and they're trying everything they can to win games, bunting, stealing base. I mean, they're really doing everything they can, and that's what you have to do when you're the small guy and you're going up against the big guy. You know, like my friend Claudio Rosano would say, you know, you don't show up for a sword fight with a knife, or if you're going to, you better put your hand in their face or something, because, you know, and that's exactly what they have to do. You know, that's like you or I showing up to a boxing match against Mike Tyson and thinking we're gonna succeed. We have to kick dirt in his face or do something to try to win. And that's what the Pirates are doing right now. They're playing small ball and they're doing everything right. And what I'm real excited about, Mark, is they have actually been working with that pitch clock. A lot of these teams now, they're starting to get penalties, or they're starting to get these loose runners or whatever. I don't know how that works, but whatever. And it seems like they're managing the pitch clock very well.
Right. Let's bring in some comments. You got Dalen from Chelmsford up. He goes, boy, you guys are up early. Did you guys all finish your breakfast?
Yeah,
we got the early version today. He said, long live the Boston franchises, the Celtics and the Bruins. We're going to do some damage in these playoffs. I guess he's going to the Hawks game. The Hawks and Celtics play. And, the Bruins are going to destroy Florida there. That series could be done real quick. The Bruins are just clicking on all cylinders. Mazin shattered every NHL record there in wins and points. Any thought to Dalen out there in Chelmsford, regular listener to the show?
Oh, absolutely. And we always appreciate all the regular listeners. We have today we have 193 this morning, up early. They ate their Wheaties and are up and running.
Yeah.
So it's good to know. You know.
Yeah, not only that, and that's a good thing. I know you were talking about it the other day on the show. You're not covering the USFL, but it starts today. I'm excited. You got a hometown team. I don't have to put teams in a hat and draw it like I did with the Houston Roughnecks. Any thought to the USFL and XFL going off at the same time?
Yeah. You know, you have the XFL. They're going to start their playoffs. And the USFL is just getting started with their season. So if you like football, here we are. You have a lot of it. But they're, you know what? Again, I'm going to say this, and I take a lot of heat for saying this, and I don't know why, because we have people out here that just think that they have to take their kids and all that to Disney World all the time. Look, you can go to Canton, Ohio, $10 a ticket for a Maulers game. Take your kids, take your family, visit the Hall of Fame in Canton. Nice, easy trip. You don't have to waste a lot of gas, play around with the luggage at the airport. Do none of that. Easy, nice little family trip. But I get, you know, derogatory comments about that. People go, oh, I ain't taking my kids there. I'm taking them to Disneyland. Well, you know what? You take them to Disneyland, you go ahead and have to take out a loan. When you could go to a Maulers game, pay $10 per ticket, and still have fun. But, you know, no one understands that, Mark, and that's what I say all the time. I think the Maulers are going to do better this year. They have a new coach. They have some new players. They don't have.
Well,
you know,
the problem here's the problem, and we talked about this in pre-chats and stuff like that, Ralph. The problem is I don't know why these teams aren't playing at home. I don't care if it's at, you know, Pitt's training facility or whatever out there. If you were to put these things at home in their cities, people can come, you build up the community and stuff like that. I don't know why we're playing these, throwing two teams in one city or three teams in a city. It just tunes people out. I know if I'm going to watch a game, I want to see something from Pittsburgh, my hometown. I want to look at it. I want to be able to say, hey, they're playing in Pittsburgh, you know, maybe a little, you know, rain out there and stuff and in the mud. And you have the backdrop of the Roberto Clemente Bridge or something. I don't know. But when you put these things in Montgomery, Alabama or something or whatever you're putting them in, it tunes people out, man. It doesn't feel right. I mean, it's like, you know, saying we're going to play all the games out here in, you know, sunny Southern California at Black's Beach. I don't know. You see where I'm going with this?
Oh, absolutely, Mark. I understand exactly what you're saying. Look, the Maulers were supposed to play at home this year. All the teams were supposed to for the USFL. All of a sudden, they come up with this thing where they have Birmingham, and I believe New Orleans playing down in Birmingham, and then up in Detroit at Ford Field, you got the Stars and Michigan playing there. And then you got the Maulers playing with the New Jersey Generals, which makes no sense to me at all why they didn't have Philly and Pittsburgh playing together at the same place. Instead, they put the Generals there and had the Philly fans go all the way to Detroit. So, you know, and then they have Memphis, the new Memphis, well, the old Memphis team, it's back because Tampa couldn't support their team or one of theirs or something. I don't know. So Memphis is there with their team, and then you have Houston. So, and they're sharing a place. So you got teams sharing these facilities. And you're right, Mark, it's not right at all. I would rather them play here than play away like that and have to travel all the time. Now, here's something I want to bring up to you. When the Maulers were here the first time, they sold out the first game against Birmingham because Cliff Stout was playing quarterback for them. Remember, he's played for the Steelers. They were throwing snowballs, beer bottles, and everything else at them. They didn't draw too much there. If they do decide to have a home field next year, the rumor I'm hearing is it's going to be at Heinz Field, which is now called Heinz Field at Acrisure Stadium now is what it's called. And if they decide to have it there, that's fine. But I talked to the Pittsburgh Riverhounds, who play at Highmark Stadium, which is a 3,000, 4,000-seat place, and they said if the Maulers are interested, they would be more than happy to have the Maulers there. And that would be the perfect place or some high school stadium in town to play because they're just not going to draw that many people, and they know this. And I just wish that they would do that rather than having them at these different facilities. Mark, I agree with you 100%. And it takes out the you know, the home field of the game, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, that's the thing. And you're absolutely right. And you know, I don't understand. I could understand the traveling expenses of it. I understand that. But if you're not going to put it in your backyard and you're going to drop teams somewhere for travel restrictions and saving money, it just doesn't seem right. I don't know. You know, it's like, you know, the bubble excursion they did in Florida with the NBA and everything. You know, I can understand that during the COVID thing, they wanted to do that, and you know, and all the teams had to play in a bubble, you know, or you know, fans couldn't go to the games. The players would have to play at the ballparks and empty ballparks and cardboard and stuff like that. But this thing with the USFL is a joke, and the XFL by keeping these things in one or two cities and drop. I mean, you got. And the other thing is, here's the other, now we're getting some comments on this too. Kenneth from Arizona, another regular guy, goes, "Yeah, we don't even have a team in our neck of the woods." Well, you know what, Kenneth? I've been bitching and complaining about L.A. doesn't even have a team. How can you not have a team in L.A. in the XFL or the USFL? That doesn't even make sense, Ralph.
Oh yeah, the. We have 223 here listening, which is great for a Saturday morning. Also, and I appreciate all the steady comments and the steady listeners, but you're right. They didn't even have one in L.A. I don't know what their philosophy was around it as far as, you know, the XFL and the USFL not having anything in the West Coast, which I find very appalling, and I think it's wrong. And, you know, you have big cities like Los Angeles, San Francisco. You know, the closest to the West that they have, the XFL has that Seattle team, which is up there, the Dragonhawks, coached by Jimmy Haslam.
Right.
You know, so, but that's, other than that, the USFL doesn't have anything as far west as, you know, the Mississippi River. Everything stays on the other side of the Mississippi River, you know, is the way I see it, you know.
Getting onto the bums. In the last 10 minutes and some change, we're looking at the NHL, and there's been some really bust in guys that just haven't. I come to a couple of them, and I got to go back to when I was growing up in Pittsburgh. I got to go to the Dunk Wilsons, the guy Michel Dion that walked off the ice. They were a couple of bums in Pittsburgh, and I don't know who your bums are in some of the hockey extravaganzas.
Well, here, I'll give you a bum. We traded a first-round draft pick for this bum, Kasperian Kaspersen, and he hasn't done anything in the team he just went to. You know, again, another bad Ron Hextall deal where he went ahead and he signed him
well,
for 1 year.
Well, how about the guy we had in Pittsburgh, and then he's still in the league, and I'm kind of shocked. But I thought he was going to do something in Pittsburgh. We gave up a lot for him, too, is Ryan Reeves.
Yeah, well, Ryan Reeves was another one. Well, Ryan Reeves got into the what I call, what we were talking about earlier, the mediocre Mike Sullivan syndrome. Mike Sullivan does not like physical guys. He has issues with physical guys. He likes the puck-handling defenseman, which, of course, is why Malkin's always hurt, Crosby's always hurt, and they have to fight for themselves. Now, back in the day when Lemieux played, Lemieux always made sure that he had bruisers on his line, okay? So they would bring in some bruisers.
Well, they had the Samuelsons. Remember the Samuelsons were there.
Old Samuelson, Grant Jennings. They had a bunch of guys back in the day that were just some big-time bruisers. Penguins don't have that anymore because of Mike Sullivan. He doesn't like those kind of guys. So technically, Ryan Reeves really isn't a bum. He just was a victim of circumstance in the system and the fact that Mike Sullivan don't like those kind of guys.
You know, unfortunate. I'll tell you right now, and when you look at the state of these teams, I said this when these teams were gone, the ratings now for the Eastern Conference Finals or that whole playoff system over there, not having Crosby and Ovechkin in the playoffs, good luck trying to sell tickets in that thing because they could say whatever they want about Pittsburgh playing Boston in the first round and everything. That would have been exciting, Crosby and going against, the Bruins. But, with Florida in there, the Islanders in there, I don't know. It's to me, it's just the ratings are going to drop. They should have had play-in games like they did in the NBA.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mark, you want a bum from Boston? How about Lyndon L.B. Byers? He was a bum.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he was a bum.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you what he did. He got out of the hockey, and he went around the Boston area in bars and got in trouble. And he ended up with a couple of DUIs, and he was trying to open up a bar with two other guys. And I saw this on Bar Rescue. That's how I know this. And he didn't put no money into the bar or nothing. And then when Taffer went to introduce the new bar, he wasn't there for the whole rescue at all. And then all of a sudden, when he was ready to show the bar, he showed up. Taffer told him, get out. So, and he has a bad reputation in Boston for hitting the bars and beating people up and all that stuff from when he was in his hockey days. And that's why I say he's a bum, So.
Yeah, that's the thing. Albert from Poway, a regular, throwing a wrestling question. He goes, did anybody watch SmackDown yesterday? It seemed to suck.
Yeah.
Same old stuff.
Same old stuff. Bloodline beating up on Sami Zayn and Matt Riddle and Solo Sikoa always winning. And a referee kicked them out and they came back. It's ridiculous. The referees don't do their jobs, Mark. WWE's got to start doing something about this. They got to start finding some of these wrestlers for, excessive beatdowns and stuff like that because a lot of these guys are getting hurt. They're out for a while, and then, that affects their status in the WWE. It's ridiculous. And, they need to start doing what WCW did when Bill Watts was there. He would hand out fines. If he told you not to beat somebody up excessively, and so is Sikoa beating Matt Riddle excessively, gets a fine.
Yeah, you know what it is? Yeah. It's just a joke. I mean, it's like now Riddle's involved in it. And then we got these guys, and then, You know, the L.A. Knight Xavier Woods thing, you know, it's that's a clown show too. You gotta get these kind of guys. You gotta put an L.A. Knight against a Seth Rollins type, build something up with that. The whole the tag women's thing was a complete clown show with DeVille and that other one. And Rodriguez.
Oh yeah, that
and then the Viking
yeah.
Raiders against the Ricochet and all that.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I keep telling you, and we talked about this on Thursday on the show. I don't know what they're going to do with Reigns and who Reigns is going to have his next opponent. What the hell is going on with that?
Yeah, that's exactly it because. Remember I told you.
Because we already know it's going to be Rhodes and Lesnar. We already know that.
Right. Well.
So what are they going to do with Reigns as they start to get into maybe SummerSlam here?
Well, Reigns is supposed to be having another pay-per-view in May. It's going to be called the Night of
Backlash.
Champions. So, no, Backlash is first, Mark. That's in about a week or two. Then after that, the end of May. They're supposed to have another one called Night of Champions. So every championship will be on the line. So I don't know who Roman Reigns is going to fight at this point. I think they're having a number one contenders match coming up real soon. And then they have the draft coming up as well. So I don't know how that's going to work. You already have two pissed off wrestlers. You have Seth Rollins, who has walked away from the WWE. And then I heard he was talking to Jon Moxley recently. And he was talking about maybe going over to AEW. You've got Drew McIntyre upset with the WWE now. He canceled out his Twitter account, and he's no longer he hasn't shown up for any SmackDown events lately. So and he's angry. He wants out. His contract's due up in a few months anyway. So so that match between him and Gunther isn't going to happen. Somebody's got to do something here, you know.
It looks like the Gunther match is pretty much, yeah. Now they got the Gunther going against the Xavier Woods thing. So that's a joke. That's a squash
match.
That's
ridiculous.
Match.
Yeah.
Yep. There's no way that guy's taking a belt. From Gunther. No way. That thing's not going nowhere.
No.
Hey,
not at all. Nobody's been able to.
Right. As we wind this thing down, let everybody know what's on your agenda because you're a busy boy, man. You got the Tampa, you got the Pittsburgh, you got this one, and we're looking at other things for you.
Absolutely, Mark. Monday night, 7:30, or 7 o'clock Monday night, YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter are four platforms the way I see it. I got some real good topics coming up this Monday, Tuesday, Sports Corner, myself, Smoker, Jim Frazier. We have guest Tad Morey from Duquesne to talk about Duquesne basketball. And also we have Matt Bensel coming on to talk about this Penguin situation. And we're going to talk some more about the draft. And then Wednesday we have Talking Wrestling with myself and Smoke and Jim Frazier. Thursday night, myself and you, Mark, and Smoke and Jim, our Wrestle Talk and Sports Talk show. We start at 7:30. Unless we're doing the TV show. And then Friday, we have the External Bump podcast with you and I. We're waiting for Bruce to come back. We're saying prayers for him. So that's what I got going on. Plus, I got Ralph Williams one-on-one. I'm waiting to hear back from some people.
And I can't wait to hear that thing with the Penguins when you get that guest on. That's going to be a good one to find out what the Penguins are going to do down the line here. So a lot of good things. As we wind this thing up, I want to thank everybody for – wow, on the West Coast, at least getting up early and hearing us. I know you follow us tremendously. The East Coast, it was an early rise. And stay tuned at the bottom of the hour from Pittsburgh, the Doc Talk podcast. We'll be talking investments with Dr. Greg Roscoe on that one. And just want to wish everybody a blessed weekend. Pitt football is starting up the spring thing. USFL, we talked about.
I was going to go, but it's supposed to rain. It's supposed to rain, Mark.
Well, we got out of here. We got the Long Beach Grand Prix, Coachella. We got the Cubs and Dodgers. A lot of stuff going on out here. For Ralph Williams in Pittsburgh, yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Thank you very much for tuning in. Catch the archive on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. We'll see you Friday, 5 o'clock in Pittsburgh, 2 o'clock in Los Angeles. Thanks for tuning in.